you can't really read it because it happens in the last split second. And like Micheletto also, for example, he's opening his hands a lot.
How do you mentally prepare yourself for this situation?
So that you can make the last step if the ball is short.
Do you also sometimes happen to you that you are late and you can attack only in front of you?
It's always about managing the risk. Let's say the middle is not arriving perfect.
How do you deal with the situation that somebody is defending you?
But not over the block, around the block. The one against one, usually defenders go deep.
Example, Erwin Ngapet is, you know, flying, you know, showing hands, opening.
Yes. It's important to be fast there. Don't wait the reception.
I'm here with Paul Puciger, Austrian opposite, who's playing in Italian Serie A1. He's one of the best scorer in the Italy. And our topic for today's podcast is about how to attack from position one when you have a good reception or when you have a good ball after the defense, because I think it's a very interesting topic, and Paul is experienced opposite, so I believe that you can give many advice to our listeners and people who will watch this.
Hello, everyone. Nice to be in this podcast. I'm very, very interested in this format. I watched some videos already and happy to be here. So, yeah, I think from position one, it's an interesting attack. Second line, you have less options than in first line, for sure. I think for me personally, it's a more difficult attack because there are a lot of things you have to consider. I think, first of all, you need to start to find your position in the approach. Like, where do you start in second line? Because obviously, if you have a good reception, if you have a good pass, and you're one against one, you don't want to step the line. This is for sure the first mistake to avoid. So once you found your approach distance, for me personally, it's good to to start the approach on the line, so that you can make the last step if the ball is short in into the court. And if it's on the antenna, you can go straight, because if you have to make the last step outside the court, you lose the vision on the blocker, and you don't know where the block is, and you basically hit blind. So for me, it's better to go inside the court, always have the block in front of me. So yeah, that's for sure the first step. And then obviously with the perfect reception, most of the times, let's say the middle is not arriving perfect. So first of all, you look at the, I look always on the outside blocker. Where is the blocker? Does he close the line? Is he staying more inside? Is he closing more the my diagonal spiking option? So once I see the outside blocker, he's leaving me like one ball. I look at the middle blocker. Is he arriving? Is he committing at the middle? If he's committing at the middle, means that I have all the diagonal space on the court free. So for me, that's the best option in this way. If it's one against one, go full with all your strength in the diagonal. And if you see the middle is making a read block, most of the times with perfect reception, still he can't arrive perfectly, then you have to understand, does he leave a middle, like a hole in the middle? Like, is he going and entering the court with like leaving a space in the middle, or is he like going flying and trying to close the hole? So all these things happen, of course, in like a split second. But these are decisions that I usually make, or like things that I try to focus on, like, where's the middle? Is he arriving and trying to close? Then I go long in the diagonal, or is he like leaving a hole in the middle and then I go full in the middle? And yeah, so that's how I approach the whole attacking situation in position one.
Of course, that you have advantage. You have 2.7 meters, so you can attack not only in the last meter, but you can attack to the 7 meters. And do you prefer when you have like ideal situation, only one block, and you know that he's leaving you a little bit line or a little bit diagonal, that you go straight into the ground, into the 7 meters, or you prefer to go to the 9 meters, to 8 meters, because there is always a risk that you will face the block, and if you hit it low over the net, then they will block you. But if you go for long attacks, then there is a defense. What is your strategy in this matter?
So if I have a one against one, I try not to hit like the last meter of the court, because, you know, it's always about managing the risk, I would say. Like, if I go on the last meter, there's a risk that I spike out. So if I hit like on 7 meters, 8 meters, there's a low risk to spike out, but also there's the defense, because the defense most of the times is inside the court. So obviously, first thing, you want to pass the block, and second is you beat the defense. So I think for me personally, if I'm one against one, I hit more into the court, not on the last meter. If I see that I have a stable block, if the block is arriving, I try to go long, not to hit the block low, so that if I hit the block, I go on the fingers and the ball goes long.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I approach it.
And how do you deal with situation? Because when you are facing one block, some outside hitters are going with the like standard block with the hands together. But for example, Erwin Ngapet is, you know, flying, you know, showing hands, opening,
yes.
Closing the hands. When you see this, do you also try sometimes to hit just above their heads because they are, you know, opening the hands, or do you try to avoid the block all the time?
So for me personally, I prepare every game with watching the opponent's block. If I played the game, if I played the opponent already, I watch my attacks against the outside blockers to see how they move in the block. Do they fly? Do they open their hands? Do they throw their hands into the cross, the cross side of the court? So that you get a feeling on about the blocker. Then during the game, these things you always like analyze. Okay, the blocker is staying on the line. He's a like brave blocker, let's say, like how you learned everything. This is most of the times, like for me, it's more comfortable. If somebody like Ngapet is like throwing his hands around, it's uncomfortable because you can't prepare, like you can't really read it, because it happens in the last split second, and then you see, okay, he's there on the line. But then in the last moment, he throws his hand and you're basically like just, let's say, like unprepared, and you can't foresee this block. So it's difficult for sure. But I think all players have tendencies. Like Micheletto also, for example, he's opening his hands a lot, like throwing his arms, getting great success because players see him, but then don't see his hands. It's uncomfortable against players like this, for sure. There's also, he's taking also risks, like these blockers take risk to get a lot of block out. But once, like there's games where he's just throwing his hands and takes you like 4 or 5 times in a row. There's also sometimes a little luck, but for sure,
mm-hmm.
you need to read the situation, and through the game you understand how to deal with the blocker, let's say.
Yeah, and of course that even if you are attacking in this good situation against a single block who is sometimes, you know, moving his hands, you cannot have like 100% efficiency, because nobody is having 100%. How do you deal with the situation that somebody is defending you? I think it's better that somebody will defend you, that you make a direct mistake into the antenna, into the outside, no?
For sure. Especially one against one, if you have like good approach, good set, you go full into the ball, you spike 100%. If they defend you, of course, you know, this happens in the game. This is the high-level volleyball nowadays. There are a lot of good defenders. Still, it's better, for sure, better than to make a mistake, of course. And also after defense, most of the times it's high ball, so it's not most of the time it's not a perfect situation where they have like 4 attackers running like quicks. So I think for sure getting defended is better, but point is always better, of course.
Do you also think or do you see in the game that if a middle blocker is serving, then he's in position five and you don't have libero, so you are trying more to attack a line because middle blockers are mostly taller guys, not so skilled in the defense. Do you also think about this?
Of course, this is also one point where, like, if you have a good set and you see the line is open and you know the middle blocker is in defense, it's for sure a better option to spike line than when the libero is there. And also a lot of times tips like around the block, like just to lower the arm and make the tip like a little late so the blocker is already going down is a good option. And especially one against one, not a lot of players do it. I don't do it often. I should do it more often maybe. But one against one, usually defenders go deep, are on their heels, trying to defend the strong ball, so they are not as mobile on the feet to go for the tips. So this can be also a good option, for sure.
And about these tips, you mean that it's better to make a tip in position five where there is a middle blocker, or also make some like a power tip in the middle of the court because there is no defense. If you make it into diagonal, the guy from the two or from position one can take it. So what would be your advice for this?
So I think if from good reception over the block, most of the times it's not, for me, it's not the best option. I think more around the block, more to throw it with a quick motion to make like a power tip or to make like a really short one in position five, but not over the block, around the block. So the ball is lower and there's less time to defend. So that's, I think, best. And if you make the power tip like more to six than like straight in the middle than like on some sides, no? So that there's the most way for each possible player to defend, not too close to position five, not too close to position one. There's always... But, you know, there's always also tactics in the defense. Players read you, so it's not always 100% sure that it will be a point because also players in defense read the game, read your arm. If you go too early and you show too early, players will get an upright position and go for the tip. So best is to make like a full swing motion and then go late for the tip.
I was also playing opposite some years ago, and there is only one position when you are in position five and there is a faster reception that you get a fast set, then it's not so easy to get in the right position for your approach. And some players are having troubles with this. Do you also sometimes happen to you that you are late and you can attack only in front of you because you are like rushing to get to the spot and just attacking in front of you?
Yes, for sure. This is also like, I think in the efficiencies in this season, you can see that when we are in set of position two, so when I'm in five, the efficiency is getting a little lower. I think it's because a lot of times when the serve is hard and fast, there's not much time to go directly to your starting approach position from what we started in the beginning. I think... The best way is to just go directly, run as fast as you can to your position, to your starting approach position, so that you are as prepared as if you start from position one. Because the starting position always is your routine, is your like start. If you once get out of this a little bit, everything gets different, the view of the block gets different. So it's important to be fast there. Don't wait the reception. And just go as fast as possible so that you are in your comfortable starting position. If it's not possible, of course, maybe you cut the court in position one and you have to start the approach a little bit inside and then go from inside to outside. Yeah.
But I see there are some like Atanasievich, he's never going on the line, you know, he's always going 1-2 meters inside the court and he has a great crossbody attack, and there are many, many opposite like this. And also about your game, because you are you know, playing in one of the best competitions in the world. You are studying your opponents. You know how they are playing. You are preparing yourself. But do you also spend time with yourself? Because, you know, you are making a lot of attacks. You have 300, 400 attacks in the season. And do you also watch yourself, what is going well, what you can improve? And do you make also your own analysis of your game after each game or after the season?
Of course, I try to watch as many videos of myself. I always rewatch the games if I have the time and the chance. Also, some practices where I know, okay, maybe today, especially the things that I think that didn't go well. It's always easy to watch good games because you have a good feeling. But most of the times, the important stuff, the stuff you need to improve, are obviously in the games that you didn't play well. So these are for sure things I watch a lot, and I also then try to already implement in the practice. So maybe if I see that I lower my elbow, I try to go high with my elbow and try to hit the long balls around the block, over the block, on the fingers. So these are things I like to work, which is like daily business for me, but still needs to be like every day repeated, because once you lose like your focus on what you need to think of, it's going always a little down, no?
And what would you be your advice to the players? Because not every day is a sunny day. Sometimes you are playing, even if you have a good feeling in your body, you cannot close or score many points, even against the single block. How do you mentally prepare yourself for this situation? And what would you advise to the players if, you know, one set they are not scoring and somebody is already starting to shaking, not trusting to themselves? What is your approach to this situation?
I think you have to understand what is your best shot, what is your best attack, what is your best spiking direction, and try to find your strengths in this in your best attack, so that if you do the things that you know best, you're more comfortable. You tend to make less mistakes, because if you start to then try to change something, everything you most of the times gets worse, because you're not comfortable, you're in stress, you're a little nervous, then you try to spike some ball that you never tried before, and I recommend not to do this. Instead, stay with your best attack and try to work on these things and to work on your attacking positions, and then try to get out of this let's say emotional hole, if you want to say so, through your strengths. And with for that you need to know what are your strengths and what is your best spike.
And it also depends a lot on your connection with the setter, because setter knows how you are performing. He's the head, he's a computer in the game. And he should also know that maybe now you had a tough period, so I would not give you another third ball against a triple block. Maybe I will wait for a good reception. He will play with you. And do you also speak or communicate with the setter that now I want more balls now? Maybe, you know, give it somewhere else?
For sure. You know, this year I'm in a comfortable position that I play with the setter for the fifth year with Santi. So we know each other already pretty well, but of course, you know, if an attacker is in let's say a difficult situation where he's not scoring, not performing as well, it's easier, and that's also a big part of the setter's job to put the player back in the game. I always communicate, of course, with everybody on the court, but a lot also with the setter, and try to you know, tell him, okay, also, now I feel good. Maybe now, you know, give me some balls. Or maybe if I'm in a difficult situation, like give me one free ball, like one perfect reception, so that I get back in the game, especially maybe before the service, to have a better feeling. So these are for sure things that that help to and are necessary, especially on the highest level, to have a good communication on the court.
And the last question, what would be your advice, one single advice in your eyes most important for out for opposite, you know, in regarding to attacking these quick balls from position one? It's about the approach, it's about hitting high, it's about hitting the diagonal, or what is in your eyes the most important? I know that it's not only about one advice, but if you can pick up only one advice, what would be this advice?
I think to like in general to find your best ball, like where are you best performing, which ball can you spike the best, whether the ball is a little short, whether the ball is a little like perfect on the antenna, do you need it more inside, do you need it like more on the 3 meters. So to speak there a lot with the communication, back row attack from position one is a lot of with about the connection with the setter for me. So to find there the best connection and then try to have all angles. So to be very versatile, to have the line, to have the ball in the middle of the block, to have the ball around the block when the block is coming and closed. And so to be very versatile and to have a lot of options, because every situation in the game is different. And so you need to adapt a lot. Volleyball is a lot about adaption, to see what the opponent is doing and then react. And if you have a lot of options, a lot of shots, you can manage a lot of situations. And that's, I think, my advice to the players out there.
It's great advice. I'm speaking in my videos sometimes that every attacker, outside hitter, middle blocker, opposite should be unpredictable, because if you have only one type of attack, one diagonal, you know, the defense in one game, in one set will be there and will be defending you if you are attacking only yes. into one direction. So you have to have a lot of weapons in your arsenal and be ready to attack all these hits and make a lot of points. I would like to thank you for all your advice, for all your tips, and I believe that many opposites will take something from your advice and will get better, because this is my goal, to make the players better. And thank you again for your time and your advice.
Thank you so much. Ciao.